Welcome. Welcome to Recipe for Peace Now. I'm your host, Sue Beller, and this is the show where we find practical, real-life solutions to difficulties bringing people together for a common goal, a common good. We will discuss listener emails, answer common questions, and at the end of the show, we will have two delicious potluck recipes made for sharing with your new community of, well, if not exactly friends, at least willing participants. If you would like to send in a question or favorite recipe, please email us at recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com or visit our website at www.recipeforpeacenow.com. Also, if you would like to hear prior shows, they're archived on that website, recipeforpeacenow.com. Thanks. Now let's get started. This time we're going to be talking about changing direction. Sometimes that happens. When we start out, we think, oh, this is how it's going to go. This is what we want to do. And then when we get into it, when we do the research, when we do the negotiation process, when, well, things happen, we find out maybe not so much. Maybe we're going to have to revise and change direction. Maybe not completely. Doesn't have to be a complete turnaround, but somewhere along the line, it's going to be kind of different than we thought it was going to be. No harm done as long as we know to do it. So let's start out with a basic question about where we're headed. How do we determine the direction to take? How do we make that initial determination? Because if we don't know that, how are we going to know how to change it when the time comes? Or maybe we'll think, well, we don't have to change this. We've already got flexibility worked into the process, which is a good idea too, isn't it? Yes. Mm-hmm. So how do we determine the direction to take? This is true. A lot of people are talking about the employer and somebody gave you instructions, and that's how you know, initially at least, where we're going to head. On this show, we call everybody who had the brains to bring us in the employer. It does not necessarily indicate the actual relationship between you as leader and whoever it is that brought you in. The employer in our show could be a person, could be an organization, could be a board. Whoever it is that asked us to do it, whoever it is that asked us to lead this, we're going to call them the employer, just as a generic term. Everybody got it? Yeah. So don't tell me that they're not the employer, because it's just a generic title. We could call them Fred, but that would be confusing. people are saying not any more confusing than calling everybody the employer. Well, okay. But now we understand it, right? Right. So how do we determine the direction? The employer tells us. How about by agreement? A lot of people are talking about the fact that you determine it kind of democratically, kind of in the group, kind of ask everybody's opinion. We're going to call that by agreement. How about determining the direction we're going to take by the circumstances that show up? How about other groups, opposition maybe, or maybe they want the same thing, but they have a different idea of how to get there. That happens. They're not opposition exactly, but they're not exactly with us yet either, because we're going to approach them and see if maybe we can't get along and play nice. Circumstances might be the media. They might be in some way impacting what's happening. Funding is a biggie, yes. Either we got more funds, which is fabulous, and we can do more. Usually it's the other way around. We've lost funding. We've lost a grant or whatever it is. Or we was only funded for a certain period of time, and it wasn't renewed. And I'm going to bump everything else into the category of new issues. Stuff happens. That's circumstances. New issues. Sometimes, and this is fabulous, sometimes, if especially in the medical area or the law area, things suddenly change for the better. Whatever it was got cured. Whatever the law was got changed. Other people worked on it too. It's like, woo-ha! It's been done. And if we are a really good group and we want to keep going on the social issues or whatever they are, we might change direction. We might not disband just because we kind of won, but we might change direction and work on something that's a corollary, something that's similar, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. How else do we determine the direction we're going to take? How about asking for expert opinions? Yeah, we're going to ask some experts what we should do about this. Using our experience, yes. And a lot of times, and this could be under circumstances, but I think I'm going to do it separate because it's kind of a biggie. A lot of times there's some culture involved. I do a lot of business clients, big business, big organizations that are multicultural, multinational. And a lot of times, especially organizations that deal with different kinds of ethnic cultures, they have a corporate culture that kind of pervades and overrides stuff. And you have to understand it. You have to understand not to violate the corporate culture because it won't be acceptable as a solution. You have to work within it and allow people to understand that we're stretching it slightly. Flexibility. Mm-hmm. So that's how we get to the direction originally. How do we determine it's time to change? Right? Yeah. Those other things are how we got there. We've gotten a path. We're on it. We're looking for it. This is the direction we're taking. How do we know it's time to change? Because we're full steam ahead. At least you are for me. Yeah. Mhm. Yeah. The direction's not working. The path is not working. For some reason, it's not working out. It's not coming together. It's not getting close to a solution. Mm-hmm. And you, as third-party impartial, will be able to see that because you're the leader. You're the expert. You can see that we're not getting closer. The path, the direction is not working for us. Yeah, sometimes the employer changes. Sometimes they actually change their mind, oftentimes because of media pressure. It depends what it is that what the employer is doing and what kind of business they're in. Some are more sensitive to media pressure than others because it's public opinion. Sometimes the employer literally changes, as in you've got a new person on your hands and you need to bring them up to speed and really get them to understand the importance of continuing this project that we're already knee-deep in, right? Yeah. And so that's a whole different thing where you have to say, well, explain it to them and invite them into the process so they can understand how it's a good thing, right? Yeah. A lot of times you determine it's time to change because the experts reach consensus that it's time to change. You ask, and they say, yeah, this is not a path that's going to be successful. Let's tweak it. Let's move on. Let's move forward. Let's move maybe sideways. Depends what's going on. But let's revise what we thought before. And these are the same experts who thought it was a good idea in the first place. So, hey, they changed their mind too. On time constraints, we might need to speed it up in some way. We might have to make the process more streamlined, right? Funding constraints, yes, we might have lost money, right? It's time to change direction. We might have gotten a big grant, and we can now change direction in a more positive way, right? Mm-hmm. I suppose. A lot of people are talking about you change direction, and thank you all for being here and for all of your wonderful participation. You change direction when things get uncivil. Now, yeah, when the civility rules are being violated regularly, it means that you're not, it's not working. It's an indication. I'll give it an indication that it's not working. When people keep trying to violate the civility rules, because you won't let them, I said keep trying, right? And you can see that it's just not coming together. You have to think outside the box and think of something else, right? Right. And also, in order to change direction successfully, which of course we are, you're going to need to kind of think outside the box, have some empathy. And remember that empathy is understanding, not necessarily agreement. Empathy is understanding, not necessarily agreement, right? Yeah. It's understanding why this is happening. You don't have to agree with it, but you do have to understand it to make a reasonable change and to change your direction. Uh-huh. So let's start out with how we know what direction to take. And the first one we talked about is employer instruction. Remember, employer is a generic term. The first thing you as leader and as, well, really you as prospective leader, because you need to get this straightened out before you sign on, before you say yes. I know that a lot of you are kind of in a professional position where you kind of say yes to stuff that's a little more difficult than others, okay? I know that because you need the experience, you need the business, and like that. And as you become more experienced and you get more business than you can handle, you get to be more fussy. But one of the things you must do with the employer before, pardon me, oh, my goodness, it's a live show. All right, yeah, now you all know I'm going to take a two-second break, and I'm going to blow my nose. Hang on. Pardon me. Yes. Yes, this is a live show, and we can't actually take pieces out of it. So it's kind of like, well, that's nice. She blew her nose on a live radio show. Fabulous. Pardon me. That's nice. A lot of people are saying bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the blessing. But the first thing that you must do with the employer, before you say yes, and if they can't, you need to assist them. And if they refuse to be assisted in this, then you should refuse to be a leader. You should refuse to do it. It won't work out well. You have to deal with a reasonable employer that knows what they want. So we need to define the employer expectations. What do you want? Can't be, I don't know, you handle it. No. We need to define expectations. And ladies and gentlemen, my friends, let's get that in writing, right? So that later on, if things go a little bit, well, we need to change direction, they can't say you didn't tell me or I didn't agree to this. No, 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 no. We're going to get it down in writing before we start, right? Right. Mm-hmm. You know what else we need to have in writing from the employer before we start? Yes, thank you. Lots of folk, Lee and others, are saying you need to get the support of the leader. Right in that same written document over there that we've got for the definition of expectations, right? You need to get the support of the leader, the backing, so that if, okay, for example, the civility rules, which we may talk about, let's talk about them now, because we talked about them being violated. And the only way that they're going to get violated and we have to change path, okay, we may need to change direction if people are violating the civility rules or attempting to regularly. What you've got is you've got a group that's hit frustration. And that's one way of knowing that it's really gone south and you need to change course. You need to change direction. We need to talk about this, right, between the whole group and the employer. But the employer must back the civility rules, must support them. Because you can say, play nice. But we all know that some people will do so because they're not naturally going to be uncivil. And then there's some people in the world who have come to be uncivil. Pardon me, took a sip of water. They enjoy it. They are there to maybe even derail the process, right? Yeah, sometimes that happens. And these people you need to have a threat for these people. And the threat is to their employment, probably, or to their membership in this group. Usually, for some reason, they are at a level that they cannot be excluded from the group, because you would have done that earlier. Change direction, right? Sometimes changing direction means that you can exclude some people or include some people. You can switch around the membership for the good of the whole, right? Right. And one of the reasons I would do that is repeated incivility. But you need the employee, you need to say, you must be civil, you must be respectful, you must take your turn and then let others have their turn, and the answer is, or else, right? Like a little kid, or else. What you going to do about it? And the answer is must be that the employer will impact your employment, right? That's the answer. You will be demoted. You will be fined. You will be thrown out of this group, which is something that you should be in, right? Yeah. All good. You need the employer to back you. You also need the employer to understand that what we say is the desired, the expectation now may need to be flexible in the future. It is not a rule that you must meet all the expectations. They are expectations. Well, hopefully we do, but sometimes we need to have some modification, because as we go into it, we find out that the actual defined expectations, they're unreasonable at this point in time, and that happens. And so we must understand flexibility. And the next thing we're going to do is we're going to say that we're going to, how do we know to take a direction? By agreement with something that a lot of people were talking about. The question becomes the agreement of whom? Who's agreeing? Mohammed is going for leader. The leader is going to make the agreement with the employer and lead and show you what you're going to do. I think this is a perfectly valid thought, depending. It depends, A, on your leadership style and whether or not you are the kind that does negotiation and democracy, or you just give assignments and tell people what we're going to do. And that style, you and the leader make up the committee on who's going to where we're headed. That style, it may be necessary and may be modified depending on your group and the culture and the process that goes with it, right? Yeah, it's tied to culture. It's tied to sometimes ethnic culture, but mainly to employment culture, to corporate culture, right? Right. And each time we agree to that, then we tell the people, our participants, so they understand that there is consensus for the next step, which is the leading part of it. Yeah, there's consensus for the next step. We're going to be able to handle this. It'll be fine, right? Yeah. This is what we're going to do. Especially, and even so, I don't know about especially, always, remember that as you're going step by step, and as you're reaching agreement by agreement, and as the participants are included in this agreement, because they need to act upon it, right? So they are included in this agreement. As you go step by step, you want to celebrate each success, right? Yes, exactly. So you see how far you've come, because that's what a lot of folks, Margaret and others, are saying. So you see how far you've come. Yes, because sometimes the process takes a while. And the employer needs to see each celebration and be invited and informed so they understand that things are chugging right along and it's not just stagnating. And maybe they should think of something else to do or someone else to lead, right? Right. One of the things that we do when we take a direction is that sometimes it's determined by circumstances, right? Yes. Suki and others are talking about opposition groups forming because we have formed. this happens. And sometimes the opposition groups are in direct answer to us. Sometimes they were there to begin with. But their reaction sometimes makes circumstances different, makes them kind of fluid, right? I like to invite the opposition in. I like to say, you know, we're not that far away from each other. Let's just get together, right? Nothing wrong with that. And then I find out how close we are. Then I find out if we are going to be in sync or not. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we're not very far apart, but we've got a leadership struggle going on. Somebody's gotten themselves a group and they like being the leader. Maybe it's you, so you have to do some self-examination there. But it's really a power play. They don't want to be kind of taken over by the better, stronger group. They want to be the leader, too. They want to talk to the media and things, right? And speaking of the media, they're the thing that also determines circumstances and causes them to change, right? Because the media has influence over the public. The public has influence over your employer, right? Yeah. Even if they don't actually sell something to the public, your employer getting bad press would not be a good thing, right? Yeah. So we need to have a media spokesperson who speaks on our behalf, right? And also we need to have the ability to third party look at what's happening with the media and analyze the result. This may be a job for an expert. We're going to get to them next. But sometimes it's hard to see the reaction to media circumstances changing, right? And we need to appoint us to the media because we don't want everybody just saying things. Do you ever have that happen? They get loose and say stuff, and I'm like, wait, no, that's not at all what we had in mind. No. And we want to just be able to put on a united front, right? Mm-hmm. Especially for the public opinion. Mm-hmm. So media, opposition groups, what else is determined by circumstances that might change and we have to think about them? Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. How about the money? How about funding? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. This is true. Bree and others are talking about actually estimating how much you're going to need. You have some experience by now, so you have an idea. If you don't have any experience, you're going to need to hire an expert to give you an idea about the funding for this, whatever this is. I usually use my own experience, but I like to estimate high. Because then when you come in under time and under budget, you look like a genius. And people go, God, Sue came in, the last time we used her, she came in under time and under budget. It was a miracle. You see, I overestimated, but that doesn't mean that I filled the spot for the overestimation. It means that I negotiated, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So funding, time, estimate high. Mm-hmm. And inform the employer that they need some flexibility. Because quite frankly, and this happens quite a bit, sometimes your high estimate is not really a high estimate when you get into it. It is just about where we need to be. Yeah. And so we're going to need to really think that through. Mm-hmm. Sometimes circumstances create new issues, kind of unintended consequences, something that you didn't think about, some group that you didn't know was impacted? Yeah, unintended consequences. Ah, gee, we didn't know that. Which is why you need some expert help sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you need to be flexible. Mm-hmm. And you need to contact these people who found the new genius thing. Have them send it to you, for one thing. And then be gracious about it, if there's really something new. So, this was fabulous. I actually had a group, and we were working on funding and like that. And it had to do with a disability. Disability actually got alleviated. The cure is kind of a big word, but it kind of covers it. In any event, we weren't needed anymore. It was done. And we went, hallelujah, it's done. The law changed. It was done. But we were a great group, and we took on something else. We took in something else that was important and good for society and like that. So sometimes your group doesn't exactly disband. It just goes forward, and that's fabulous too. Mm-hmm. Yes. Let's go for experts, because we just did circumstances. And sometimes the circumstances is that the experts say no, don't do that, don't continue, right? And you need to really back off and think about it. Think about the reasoning. Think about the why, right? Yeah. Think about the whole darn thing. Let's go on to experts. I like competing experts. Yes. Oh, this is a good question. People ask you where you find your expert, right? Yeah. That's a good question. How are you going to find an expert in something kind of specialized? Hang on, so let's take a while. Pardon me. How are you going to find an expert? Well, first of all, the internet exists, right? Sometimes your experts are opinions from reputable people who have written papers and things that have been published on the internet. There's nothing wrong with that. Your expert doesn't have to be sitting there, but your expert cannot be just some sort of a crackpot either. I mean, you have to have somebody with some credentials, some gravitas. Now, I use the word credentials kind of sparingly, because sometimes expertise, experience, even prior failure are an excellent credential and have nothing to do with pieces of paper from a university, right? Yeah. Now, it is true that I have an impressive slew of credentials. I have 2 doctorate degrees in the law. Woohoo! But it doesn't make me any smarter. The reason that I'm smarter sometimes and get called in as an expert sometimes is because I look good on paper because I've got all those degrees, but I've got a lot of experience. And I think experience is more important than the pieces of paper, because people have pieces of paper they just got and absolutely no experience. I have the slightest notion what to do, but they're arrogant at the same time, right? I know what to do. Stay away from me. No. This is when we get in some competing experts so that we know that what we have considered is the whole picture and not just something that's been cherry-picked so that we agree with it. I like being agreed with. It's very pleasant. But that's not the idea of this thing. We want to reach consensus and go forward with activities that will change the present situation. Right? Yeah. And so you need to think about who your expert is, what kind of an expert, and if you're just being humored, which is why I like competing experts. I like them to come from different camps, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you ask around. So the question is, how do you find this expert? Sometimes you ask around your mentors, other people that you respect, and ask them if they know anybody, or if they might give an opinion, right? Because they might be experts. Also, you look to your participants because somebody in your group might be an expert in this, right? Yeah, that would be nice. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's somewhat consensus building because you have to get together and get in the expert. Hire might be a big word, but you might have to hire him or her, right? And this means that you need to have funding. And you have to have an employer with flexibility and funding, right? And not everybody that approaches you is an expert, even if they say so. Look into them. I've had people approach me and they insist that because they're brand new and they want to be an expert. That's what they want to be when they grow up. They want to be a consulting detective. Sherlock Holmes. They want to be an expert in everything, even though they have no experience. And they read something on the internet that gave them an inkling. Because, quite frankly, a teensy amount of knowledge is possibly worse than a whole bunch of knowledge. They both make you inflexible, right? Right. And that's no good in an expert, just like it's no good in an employer. So your expert, I think, one of the best experts is somebody who's failed but is actually still interested. Yeah, because they prevent us from having to reinvent the wheel. It didn't work, and they probably have an analysis of why not. Well, let's work from there and go forward and try something different. Now we know what not to try. Isn't that important, too? Yeah. So I think experience and possibly level of failure is an expert. You notice I made the pause there because it's like a comma. So look around. Think about it. Also think about which, if you really need to call in an expert, right? One of the questions is always when to call. And the answer is especially if we're starting to get sort of uncivil, especially if we've hit a stalemate, especially if we kind of not moving forward like we should be, right? Let's call for somebody who's an expert and have us move forward. Yes. People are talking about changing direction because you say so. Well, that is kind of because of experience, right? And it might not be the leader's experience. It might be the expert's experience, the employer's experience, right? It might be one of your participants has a lot of experience in changing direction and really going forward, right? Yeah. At picking how we're going, it's kind of, we don't throw darts. It's a reasoned opinion which path we should take first. And as we go down it, we find out, well, maybe this is not exactly what we had in mind. Let's go forward and change direction. Sometimes that's due to culture, too. It is possible when you get into cultural aspects, corporate or ethnic, you must know how to alter your leadership style, right? Because what you're doing is you are helping people to go beyond their comfort zone, which is what culture really is. It's comfort zone. This is the way it has always been done. We want to do it this way. But you, as third-party impartial leader, and the experts that you have consulted with, and the employer may be. Employers often not on tap with this until they see that it's amenable, the people are amenable, because nobody likes to make waves. The culture is comfort zone. Comfort zone is knowing that this is how it's going to be done because this is the way it has always been done. This is how it should be done because this is the way it has always been done. We don't want to learn something new. We want to do it the way it's always been done. And sometimes that works. Comfort zone is fine. I don't disagree with it. But you need to be able to reason with that, to change direction, when things happen that make the old comfort zone economically unviable. Right? Yeah. This is the way things have always been done. This is the way they always should be done. But there's new stuff, right? New people, new attitude. It's very important that you understand and have empathy for the comfort zone. We're going to talk about empathy in a little while, because otherwise you won't understand who you're dealing with. Right? Right. Mm-hmm. So let's climb up despite the cultural directions and differences between us. Right? Mm-hmm. So we've gotten a direction. We've thought about it carefully. We've had some expert advice. We've brought in some focus. We've got some focus. We've got some media attention, maybe. How do we know, which is the next topic, right? How do we know when it's time to change direction? How do we know when it's time to change direction and really forge ahead, maybe not completely in a new manner, but so that we all understand that this is being worked on and we are now going to do it, well, a little bit differently than we had? Mm-hmm. Yes, one of the ways is, well, a lot of people are saying when the direction isn't working, when the path is not working. The trick is to know that's happening. And it seems like a stupid thing to say, because of course you know it's happening if it's not working and nothing's going straight and like that. But sometimes it's not that obvious. We're going along and going along and going along. And one of the things that I think is a telltale sign is that it's taking too long, right? We should be reaching conclusion. We should be working on our successful outcome. We're still in the process stage, and everybody's kind of settled in for the long process. This is a sign that they don't get to the successful outcome, right? Yeah, it's not working. A lot of times what you're seeing is comfort zone. You're seeing, oh, this is how it's always been done. We know how to do this. Just sit down and be calm. We've got this, right? Yeah. But you can see as leader that whatever the comfort zone is, the way it's always been done, it's no longer viable. Right? And companies go under because of their comfort zone. I can name half a dozen of them in the United States that actually didn't change with technology, for example. They said, oh, that's not us. That's not our customers, right? Didn't go online as retailers. Oh, that's not us. That's not our customers. Right, really big names, really, really organizations that should have had better thinkers than that. But they just sat around in their comfort zone having committee meetings and not getting to the bottom of how come the bottom line is starting to fail and how come this is taking so long and we're not finding a solution, right? Yeah, a lot of times I do get caught. That is kind of my specialty, to kind of break that, right, in a nice way. In a civil way. You don't come in and get nasty. Boy, you people are stupid. No. First of all, they're not. Everybody likes their comfort zone. We all like to know what's gonna happen and understand that we can handle it and we don't have to think too hard. After all, it's only a job, right? Right. And so the comfort zone is an indication that we need to change direction, maybe. Hmm? Yeah. And one of the things that we need to look at, thank you, quite a few people, George and others, are talking about the assumptions underlying the comfort zone. They are foundational assumptions kind of about how life is and should be. Let's look at those assumptions and re-examine them and see if, yes, the founder thought that. But the founder lived in a world without telephones, never mind computers and everything else, without international business, right? Yeah. Making a product that had no competition. Yes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes also it may not be the comfort zone. And we talked about this at the beginning of the show. Sometimes the path is not working and we need to change because we thought we had it, but when we got into it, we found out it's not sufficiently defined. Yeah, nobody knows what to do about it because they don't know exactly what they want. Back to square one, let's sufficiently define our expectations, what we would like. Then let's sufficiently define what is reasonable given our time constraints, funding constraints, I don't know, all kinds of constraints, circumstances, the media, right? What is feasible? And let's work from there. Sometimes you have to go back to the very beginning and redefine the path, redefine the message, right? Right. Mm-hmm. When to change direction? Sometimes the employer changes, either literally, as in there's a new employer and he or she needs to be brought into the group, or figuratively, and if it's figuratively, then it is not literally an employer change, as in President X did not lose his or her job. But they've changed their mind. They've changed, the company has in some way changed direction. And they don't know, they're not certain we're relevant anymore. I see that. Is that relevant? Yeah. And this is how come. Mm-hmm. Sometimes also the employer is changed because they get pressured to do so. They get pressured. They get pressured to validate how come they're spending this kind of money. How come it's taking so long? Their peers laugh at them. Ooh, people hate that. I want to know what they think they're doing, right? Even though they know that it's right, even though they know it's a good idea, even though it'll push us forward into the 21st century, right? Yeah. Yeah, I know we're in the 21st century. It was kind of a joke, right? Because we're not in, never mind. But sometimes I deal with groups that are truly in the past, and they actually bring up topics that were successful like that in the kind of distant past. And I'm like, well, what have we done more recently? Right? Yeah. As in this century. Oops, did I say that? That was kind of rude. But you need to be able to see that. You need to know, this is how we're going to do it. This is what needs to be done. Let's go forward, right? And sometimes they get pressured to change by their superiors who might be doing a power play, but that does impact you. It impacts whether or not you've got full support. I like to talk to the superiors. Mm-hmm. Oh, excuse me. Took a sip of water. I bring them in. Especially if I can see that things are going a little bit lacking in backing, right? I ask, I like to know. I'm big on asking a actual question during times when I can see that things need to change because I would like to get clear how come they need to change. What's going on? It's a perfectly reasonable question. What's going on, right? And so if the superiors, our employers' superiors, are pressuring, I'd like to talk to the superiors and show how important we are and how important our work is. And I'd like to invite them to come, to see, to experience. Yeah. Never be afraid to do that because it will enhance your reputation. And we will assume that what you are doing is fabulous. And really, really necessary and important, right? Right. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you change direction because the experts tell you to. They have a consensus that change needs to be made. Yes, thank you. That is indeed the crux of it. Yes, Elijah says that when they say that, you need to get specific recommendations from them. Yes, not just, oh, this is not good. It needs to change. Well, thank you. You're my expert. Tell me how you think this should be changed. Give me some specifics. Tell me what needs to be done, what needs to be addressed. Not just a generic thought about it. No, that's not going to help me any. I want to hear how come. I want to know what to do about this. Yes. Yes, I do. And this is true. Some of you see me at work. I don't like to have one expert. Even if they come highly recommended and I don't know, with a letter from God, I like to see different experts with different opinions kind of compete. It's not a secret that I call in more than one. I like them to justify their opinion. I like to see if they're going to modify it because of something that we now have learned over there. Right? Yeah. I want to know that this expert opinion is shared. And I want them to hash it out between them what they think. Right? Yeah. Okay, that's a funding issue. People are saying that they can't afford to call in an expert. It depends how big your issues are. Maybe how expensive your issues are. I deal with issues that it is true, and this is, I suppose, kind of a biased and arrogant thought on my part. I deal almost exclusively with good funding because they're high impact issues, and people understand that things take money. So in that respect, that's my bias, my look on it. An expert doesn't need to actually be paid if you can find passion, right? And also, the internet is a great boon to this. I know there's a lot of garbage out there, but we are sensible, reasonable human beings who understand the difference between Jesus Christ, really? Oh, that's thought-provoking. Yeah. We understand. We look at the source, for one thing, and we go, well, this person's got a Pulitzer Prize or whatever kind of a degree or whatever kind of a validation. Well, I look up who wrote the thing, right? Yeah. I want to know if they're well respected. I want to know what other people in similar situations to mine have thought of this. What kind of opinions are out there? What have people done about it? And then I see if I can contact them and ask, not waste their time, ask them a question for their opinion as to whether or not that would be a good idea. You'd be surprised. People really love to be asked, and they love to be an expert, and they want to help. They do. In my opinion, and I have seen this many, many times, that people really are interested. They would like to assist. They're not going to say, no, I'm not going to talk to you because I don't talk to anyone. No, they would like to help. It's fabulous. Yes. And so you need to have experts who will actually think about your specific situation, not give a generic response. People that have been in a similar situation, let's seek them out. Let's see what happened. Let's see how they thought out of the box. If they failed, let's see if we can figure out how come and try not to do that, right? Yeah. Even when I have experts that I'm paying, I expect to see a basis for their recommendations. I don't want them to make a pronouncement, right? Yeah. Elijah and others are agreeing that this is what should be. Well, let's see some specifics. And why do you think that, right? The five, remember our five W questions that go with empathy that we are about to talk about later on in the show? So maybe we have time. We always run out of time. The who, the five W questions to find out understanding go in every direction. They go towards our experts too. Who, what, where, when, and why? Who, what, where, when, why? We want to ask these questions so that we can find out the answers and gain understanding of what under the foundation of the underlying information. Yeah, very, very important, right? Yes. I want to know how come is what it really is. Who, what, where, when, and why? Do you ask them all at the same time? Not necessarily. You ask them all in that order? Not necessarily. Do you ask them privately or in front of other people? That's a judgment call. But you want to know the answers because they make a difference, right? The next topic that we were going to talk about is time constraints, right, that make us change direction. That's kind of a circumstance oftentimes outside of our control. Yes. This is really true. Muhammad says, and many others are saying, that sometimes time constraints are flexible. Yes and no. If you set the timing, you as leader, barring a unforeseen circumstance that we all understand caused it to be reset, I like to keep to my time schedule. I set it with plenty of time. I'm not mean about it. You know what I mean. I give everybody lots of time to think and to research and like that and to bring in the results. But if you keep moving the line of when something has to be submitted, for example, if you keep moving that and it's made out of sand because it keeps blowing away and everybody knows that it's not serious, well, then you don't have any time restrictions. You might as well give up and say whenever you've got it, it'll be fine. Right? Right. Now, sometimes you get issued time constraint, for example, from an employer. I like to know as leader, and I probably won't divulge this information, but I want to know why the timing has been set like that. What I'm trying to determine is there a reason that we have to have this in by this time, or is it just really kind of a preference, right? Or somebody wants to exert some power and be kind of a micromanager, right? Yeah. If there's a real reason, we will move heaven and earth and do it. Now, if it is arbitrary, we're going to negotiate some more time because it's arbitrary and we're going to need it. I like to estimate, people say we've been asked for an estimate about how much and how long. My advice is to estimate big. Yeah, I always do. I estimate more. I use my experience. I figure out how much it's going to cost, about how long it's going to take. Think about that. And then I estimate bigger, lots bigger. Sometimes I double it. Because, A, everything costs more and takes longer than you think it will. As you get into the issues, things happen. But, B, when you come in under budget and before time, under time, you're a genius, man. Yeah. That's how you get a fabulous reputation. I'm a genius. I came in under budget and in less time than it was supposed to take. Wow. Who are they going to hire next time? You, because you're really good at this. Wow. But sometimes there's actual deadlines set by others. For example, sometimes we need to get on a ballot for voting, or sometimes there's a filing requirement of some sort, Those are serious. You need to actually have somebody set the calendar, so to speak, so that you've got reminders, so that you don't actually get blindsided and blow a deadline. Yeah. It's very important that's what your assistant does. Yes. Or hope maybe you, depending on. But as you get busier, you're going to need a competent assistant. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, let's look at funding for a second, and then we're going to talk about the process. Because people are now asking me about interns. And let's talk about that during process. Let's talk about funding for a second. Because funding goes with time, right? You need enough funding and enough time. Figure big. Mm-hmm. And you also need the employer, who I am assuming is the funder, or the group that's funding you. So someone on the line, you're getting funded, right? That group, employer, grant, whatever, needs to have initial understanding that there needs to be some flexibility. You might need more. Sometimes there isn't more, especially if there's a grant. It's a certain amount of money or your donation or something like that. You're going to have to try to come in under that budget. If you positively cannot, and it's reasonably positively cannot, first of all, you should have known to begin with that you could, that it was too underfunded. But let's say that you didn't realize it and you have an expenses. You're going to need to pause the negotiations and fundraise. Yeah, it's not going to kill you. You need to, but you need to do that. Let's try to fundraise before we have to pause because we've run out of money, right? Let's do it as we go along so that we don't have to stop. Because once you stop, you lose momentum, right? Yeah, once you stop, you lose momentum. Let's keep going, and as we go along, let's understand that we're going to need to solicit some money, some donations, some grants, some, well, maybe we need to show that we're getting somewhere and have the employer put up some more money. However it needs to be done, we need to have that flexibility, right? Mm-hmm. The other thing we're going to talk about was the process becoming uncivil. Sometimes that happens. Usually it's because of some sort of frustration. Now, sometimes you've got somebody who's trying to derail it. But let's say that we were chugging along, and as we're going along, it's getting kind of uncivil. People are trying it. Remember the civility rules. We will not be rude to one another and treat everyone with respect. And those rules need to be announced in the beginning before anybody even thinks of being uncivil. And then enforced consistently and fairly. And immediately, once you've lost civility, it's too late. You've lost it. You need to reel this back. You need to be able to say, no, this is how it's going to be. We're going to act in a civil manner towards each other. That is inappropriate behavior. Right? Right. Announce immediately and enforce, announce and then enforce immediately, consistently, and fairly. We will not be doing that. We're going to need employer support. We talked about that. What if the employer is refusing to support? You're going to have to deal with them. You have to negotiate with them. You have to explain the importance. They need to show up and see it, right? Sometimes it's just frustration on the part of your participants or maybe the employer because the process is getting kind of long and hopefully not bogged down. This is where we're going to talk about interns versus paid, like I promised a little while ago on this show. People asked about interns when we talked about funding for experts. It is the most important thing you can do, in my opinion, I guess because I do it, is, and I can only tell you what I do, right, is to have a paid assistant. Somebody's got paid real money. even more so than a paid expert, because you need somebody to keep the process running, to keep it from bogging down. Mm-hmm. You need someone in charge. Now, when you first start out, that may be you. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with you being in charge, but somebody has to be the person in charge, right? And keep everybody in the loop. Keep the process going. Keep track of everything. Keep track of deadlines if there are some, right? Find out if we're going to break off into teams. Let's hear from the team leaders and find out if maybe somebody's not pulling their weight, for example, right? Right. Mm-hmm. And so we can have interns. But the problem with interns is that they're very inexperienced. And we require that our interns be at least master's level. Pardon me. And stay for a year and get credit and like that. Because you need to train them. And you need somebody to watch over the interns and make sure that they're doing okay, that they're of use. And by the time you get them trained, and by the time you tell them how to do stuff, you don't want them to be leaving. You want them to be useful. So I think it's lovely to have interns, and some of ours become volunteers, and it's fabulous. But it's also important for somebody with responsibility, might be you, somebody would be responsible to keep track of stuff long term. Yeah. Because sometimes negotiations last longer than your interns, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. The next thing I'm going to say kind of quickly, because we are running out of time, and I apologize. We'll get to the recipes next time, hopefully. But we've had such a nice conversation. The next thing that I'm going to say about change is that you shouldn't change things just for the sake of change. There are people like that, right, especially employers, who just want to change things, but they're not broken. And sometimes people want to change things too much. Sometimes you need kind of a fix, a flexibility, not throw out the entire process and start over. We're invested in it. We have worked on it. We have done it, right? Yeah. We need to be able to not just make change. We want to make a practical outcome. We want to really, when this is done, when these negotiations are done, we want to change things, right? We want a successful outcome. We want to be able to do it, to really be able to say, look, this is what needs to be done. Here it is. This is what we're doing, right? Yeah, very important to not just have change for the sake of change. Have change because you need it. Have change because we need a new direction, right? Have change because we're flexible and we're smart and we're going to get this done in the most expedient manner. Mm-hmm. My friend, speaking of get this done in the most expedient manner, we've gone a little bit over time. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for coming. Thank you for all of your participation. If you want to find us, we're recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com. The website, www.recipeforpeacenow.com. Prior shows, they are archived on that website. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. Thank you for all of your participation. And please do come again. Thanks. Bye-bye.